We love Sam. We love that band. I tell you what, every time I come in here, I'm just going, I get to do this every week. But all good things must come to an end sooner or later. And we don't know when those ends are. The thing that I, you know, I was back there trying to enjoy myself, and then I hear Sam's got cancer, and then I hear John Stupar's got a stroke, and is having a harder and harder time having a good time in Scotland where I was. But sometimes you just need to get out of town. Amen? And it was good for me to be gone. I was in Ireland with some of the guys that I've never seen men laugh in my life. I didn't know Bill was Irish. But the Irish guys have taken put down humor to a doctrinal level. And I mean, it is hilarious the way these guys talk and the way they treat each other and the fun we had. I had about 70 guys out by a lake. A man is turning his house and all his property into a Christian camp slowly but surely. Thad and I were there 5 years ago for this same retreat. And just outside of Belfast. And just had a great time with those guys. And see what the Lord's doing. There was a combination of a bunch of guys in two different churches and the Firefighters for Christ. A bunch of guys from that outfit. And so it was good to be there, good to be with them. God blessed it. And then I went over to Glasgow, which is about a 30-40 minute flight from Dublin. And spent 3 weeks with my son and his family over there. Milo, the little hurricane, who's 4 years old, be 4 years old soon. And then my two little precious granddaughters, Gabrielle and Isabel. And Susan started a tradition with them when they were just little girls. And one's 11, one's 12 now. But she started taking them to high tea. I don't know, have you ever been to high tea? It's not a guy thing. I remember Susan taking my mother to the Ritz to high tea. It seems like places that are just high, you know, way up there in the clouds as far as cost and plush and all that. These hotels have this thing, and especially over there in Scotland and in England. And so anyway, I wanted to keep the tradition going with them. And so we went to high tea together. And they give you tea, which I rejected it for coffee. But the girls got mint tea. They wanted peppermint, but they were out. So they got mint tea. And they give you this little thing that's got three tiers on it. They bring it and set it down. Bottom tiers, these little finger sandwiches. They didn't last long. Second tier is candy and fruit, and the top tier is pastries. We stripped that sucker and felt no shame in doing it. But we had a great time, a lot of good memories, a lot of just being in the middle of their happy, chaotic life over there. Chris is a fitness trainer and building that business over there. He's a father and a husband and keeping the home fires burning, and he's also a pastor. So he's doesn't have a dull moment. Plus, they got two yapping little puppies. So we won't go there and talk about them, though. So I had a great trip and had to get a chance to really get some good time with the Lord. In the midst of all their busyness, I just had plenty of open space to just journal and spend time and getting all this news. And we've learned it's not good news or bad news. It's just news from what's going on back here. And then Phil Hanlon and the whole thing with Dave Rosa, Captain Dave Rosa, and all that happened to him. And so, man, I'm just sitting there. And I remember sitting in this seat the last Friday I was here before the trip. Jane White, Lord took her home. Susan, Lord took her home. Colleen, Lord took her home. And that's before we knew all this other stuff was coming. And we're just going, God, what are you doing? And that's not a question you have to ask if you're surrendered and if you believe two things that I keep telling you about, that you need to believe these two things, have them in your theology, and they're going to really help you understand a lot more and be less confused. And have fewer questions from God or for God. And those two things is my God is sovereign. He's in total control. He knows everything that's going on. He knows everything that's going to happen before it happens. My God designed the cross. If he designed the cross for his own precious son, don't you think that he's got a design on us? And it's not necessarily Ray Comfort. One of the guys was sharing this morning. He got a book by Ray Comfort, the evangelist. And it says, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And then on the front cover, it had Stephen being stoned. Now, what was that saying? That God's wonderful plan for your life may be to go to the cross. God had a wonderful plan for Jesus' life, but it cost him his son and his son his life, that you and I might have the forgiveness, the redemption, the salvation, the grace, the mercy that we have in Jesus and that we have in the redemptive plan that God had. So God has redemptive plans. God has plans to bless us. But you'll normally see the blessings. God bless America. Well, at this point in time, seeing what's going on in America, would God blessing America be better if America saw its demise, or would it be better if we had a lot more years? We're praying for this patient, America. It's sick. And so sometimes we pray and they live, and sometimes we pray and they live eternally. But they die in this body and they go to be with the Lord. And so when God said in Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways, nor are my thoughts your thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, and that's pretty high, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So trying to understand God and trying to figure out what God's doing. He's sovereign. He's in control. He knows what's happening before it ever happens. Matter of fact, he may not have purposed it to happen, but he's allowed it to happen, and he'll use it for good. And good means for the gospel. Now, Paul was the perfect example of a guy sold out and surrendered to the gospel. I love this song we sang a while ago. I surrender, arms wide open, here I am, Lord. You know, that's all God's looking for. But that is what he's looking for. God's looking for guys that'll be sold out and surrendered to him. And not because, and he's recruiting guys like you and me, not because we're so gifted and sharp and on target. Can I get an amen from the congregation? Punch that guy next to you and say he's talking to you now. And the guys that didn't tell the guy next to him know I'm talking to them. And they're hoping I'll move on. But God's recruiting a bunch of ragtag guys, brokenhearted guys, the kind of guys we were singing about up here. All I have to offer you is nothing except my life. My gifts, when I moved to Germany and I was going to be working in Eastern Europe, I still got those hands. Still got it, man. I better not get too cocky. You're probably on the floor down there before I'm through. I'm the guy that was a pinch runner they sent a pinch runner in for. That wasn't my best day. On the baseball field. Where the heck was I? Broken and all that stuff. But you know what God put on my heart? You know, not only is God sovereign, but God is good. My God is good. My God does everything well. So I could go and sit at the cross and go, it is well. It doesn't feel well physically. It didn't feel well emotionally or mentally. But it was well with my soul. That song has really got to be true in our lives. Because I have a good God. And I don't know what God's all that God is doing here. Because God is not just, it's not just John White or me or Sam or Phil Hanlon and all that, you know, they've been through there. And others that are going through suffering and difficulty and loss. Because it's common to every man. No temptation has taken you, but such is common to man. And so we all are going through this, and we're going through this particular thing together. You know how you grow up a guy? You grow him up by putting him through trials and difficulties. Count it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith. What good is faith that hasn't been tested? Peter got tested in his faith. Peter says, you know, Jesus, I'm not going to let them kill you. I'm willing to go to jail. I'll die for you. Well, the rooster's going to crow, Peter, and that'll help you in your growth process. Because Peter needed to be crushed. Peter needed to understand that he did not have anything that Jesus needed and didn't have anything that was going to contribute. Truly, when the crisis came and courage was required, Peter didn't have it. Peter had to find out he didn't have it. Peter had to find out that I don't have what it takes. Because when we come to the cross, we find out that I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Jesus Christ lives in me. Now this life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. So we need to be reminded of this over and over again. And my job is to be reminded over and over again. And then I remind you. And then you're going to remind other guys. But you know, I was contemplating on the gospel. And the gospel in grief. Count it all joy when you go through various trials. Knowing what? Well, you better know this or you're not going to count it all joy. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces character. Endurance. You become an overcomer. Well, that only matters if you want to be an overcomer. If you want God's character. If you want to mature and grow in Christ. And why would you want to do that? Because he's called you and me and given every follower of his. And the last thing he said, and you know, you say, Jesus, you got one shot at him here before you go into heaven. What's your hot word for the troops? Well, we call it the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18-20. It's called the Great Commission. Are you committed to the Great Commission? Do you see that the purpose of your life is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or do you have other purposes? Jesus said, look, here's the deal. Listen up. Watch my lips. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me by my Father. So whatever I say goes. And here's what I say. Go. Go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And lo, listen, I'm not sending you out there on your own. I'm going to be with you even to the end of the age. This is a joint thing that we're in together. I'm not just sending you out there alone. And when he sent them out, he never sent them out the 70 one at a time. He always sent them out in twos. And that's a good principle for travel. So the reason I always try to get a guy to go with me. Or two, when I'm going somewhere, when I'm traveling, taking a trip. Because it's two are better than one. If you get into trouble, then one can pull the other guy out of the ditch. And if you're both in the ditch, we'll pray for a third guy to show up. But seeing that the gospel is the main thing, and I think it was Spurgeon who says, you know, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. So what is the main thing? Go and make disciples. So does that affect you as a businessman? Go and make disciples? Does that have a covering over your business in the marketplace? Does it have a covering over your gifts that you have? The personality God has given you? The opportunities God has given you to hold up the gospel of Jesus Christ by the way you respond and live, by your values, by the things that define who you are. So when I lost Susan, I dated her for 4 years, married to her right at 50 years. I lost part of my identity. And then I had to start asking, well, what is my identity? I'm not the same person. It's just half of me has been ripped out. But the other half is sufficient for me. Susan is gone, but Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. I'm never going anywhere. I'll always be here. I'll close you behind and I'll go ahead of you. Can I trust you with being my plan, my ambassador, my representative? Can I trust you with the gospel, the precious gospel, the gospel that we attained by Jesus' blood being shed on the cross? Can I trust you with that gospel? What does that mean? That means in every circumstance, in every situation in your life, will you commit to the gospel, meaning that you want Jesus Christ to be through this trial, through this difficulty, and this is where it comes from. He didn't say count it all joy when you win the lottery. Count it all joy when you do get the healing. Count it all joy when you get the job. Count it all joy when you get the wife. Count it all joy. No, he didn't say any of that. He said count it all joy when you go through various trials. Paul said over in Philippians 1, he says, look, you've not only been given the gift of the gospel, of salvation, of redemption, of forgiveness, of mercy, of grace, and truth. That's a gift. Nothing you could do to earn it, and you don't deserve it. It was just given to you. Don't try to earn it. Don't try to deserve it. Don't try to pay for it. Receive it. Believe it. Profess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, and you'll be saved. That's the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus came to liberate desperate men from themselves and from the sin that we're mired in. He came to deliver. He came to rescue. Rescue the perishing. Well, see, we got a world out there that's perishing, and we're over there trying to get the right guy elected. We got the world out there that's dying, and the big fisherman, I call him right here, stood up a few minutes ago and said, what are we going to do? There are people out there perishing. Do we have a broken heart? I was standing at Bel Air Church, used to be Presbyterian Church. I think it's just Bel Air Church now. It overlooks the whole San Fernando Valley. I was there a couple of months ago. I was standing with a friend, and he had grown up in that valley. And we could see the valley panorama from one end of the valley to the other. And he says, see that area over there? See that angle that my arms are right there? That's where 90% of the pornography in the world is filmed and produced. So what do we do? Let's get a plan to go blow up those studios. Or let's pray for them. Pray for your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. Feel compassion for those people that you are so irritated with because they're just acting like lost people act. They're not believers. They don't have the light. They don't have the strength. If anybody deserves a certain judgment, it's us believers who have the power who aren't using it, who have the power but aren't making Jesus look good, who have the gospel but we don't think about it. So when the trial comes, when difficulty comes, Jesus says, I'll be with you in it and through it. I'll enclose you behind. I know the beginning from the end. You can trust me. I'm a good God. I have your best interest in mind. I know the plan I have for you. I have a plan. I'm a God of plan and purpose. I got a plan for your life. I got a plan for your death. We know our birth date. We don't know our death date. I know when Susan died. I don't know when I'm going to die. Sam doesn't know when he's going to die or if he's going to die from this thing. The odds are he is. My feeling is you're probably going to die. And in the process, learning things like, you know, it's not about me. It's about the gospel. Chambers, he shames me all the time. I was reading through some devotionals that he did. And he says, you know, would you just quit bothering God with all your petty inconveniences and irritations? Why don't you just forget all that, forget about yourself, and as my friend, my mentor, Chuck Singletary, used to say all the time, and let's get on with a great commission. Forgetting what lies behind, pressing forward to what lies ahead, that upward call of God in Christ Jesus, the gospel. That's what God has entrusted to us, the gospel. He didn't leave us here to get rich, to be successful. And just the way it works, we're probably more effective when we're not successful. We're more effective when we're going through trials and sorrows. If we respond in a way that the world looks at us and they say, that's remarkable. The world looks at us and goes, you don't have any reason to have peace. Why are you having peace in your heart? Why are you so calm? I don't know that I've seen Sam before Colleen got sick. I don't know if I've seen him with a more lit up, joyful spirit and heart than I saw him yet Wednesday and here today. God bless you, buddy. We're carrying you. But it's fun to see that in your life and in your face. Because we're a band of brothers, and God is bringing us through this together. When one guy falls in a ditch, we get in there and pull him out. When one guy goes down, we pick him up. We don't leave him on the field. And when one guy needs our encouragement, our help, our finances, we come together as a band of brothers, and we go through this together, teaching each other to observe all that he commanded us. And we learn from each other. We learn how to live. You look at a guy that's living for Jesus, set me on fire. The song said a minute ago, set me on fire. But when you finally see a guy on fire, people try to, fan it. You either fanning it or throwing water on it. A lot of people want to throw water on it because it's convicting to see someone that's more committed to Jesus than you are. It's more fired up about the gospel than you are. That's encouraging you. That's moving ahead. Jesus was purposeful. He lived his life on purpose. Rick Warren wrote a great book about that. He knew where he was going. He wasn't confused about that. He knew why he came. And everything was on purpose, on target. What's your purpose in life? I mean, before you walked in here, what would you have said if I said, what's your purpose in life? What drives you? What inspires you? Because what we've lapsed into, I believe, to a degree or greater or lesser degree in the church today, is focusing on our own whiteness, as Chambers would say. Focus on our sanctification, our growth, is an end in itself. Why do you want to grow? Why do you want to have patience and goodness and gentleness and hope and faith? What do you want to have all that? Is not the gospel the reason? Because if it's not, then it's your own growth, your own maturity that you're looking at, forgetting why you need to be mature, forgetting that your response matters when difficulties and irritations and 3-foot putts are missed. You need to have that wristband that reminds you of who you are. Reminds you of who you are after you forgot to look down and respond like a man of God. Here's the wonderful God that we have. Every time you stumble, every time you fall, every time you're disobedient, there's grace for you. If you'll confess your sin, repent from what you just did, said, thought, God says, I'll forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. What a God. God doesn't leave us on the side. He didn't just leave us. There's no trash heaps with God. God takes guys off trash heaps and makes Pauls out of them. Takes them off the trash heap and makes men of God out of guys. What's his plan? He wasn't bothered by politics. He wasn't bothered by the zealots who were trying to run the Romans out. He didn't have a bad thing to say about the Romans. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Honor the leaders. You submit yourself to those tyrants that are over you. You slaves, you got an unreasonable master, you be submissive to him. Even those who are unreasonable, be submissive to them. You know why? Because this finds favor with God. When you obey those who are in authority over you, you may not like their personality, maybe they're not well educated, but they are the drill sergeant. I learned that in basic training. I had my degree from the esteemed Auburn University. This guy probably didn't get past the eighth grade, and I just did 50 push-ups because he told me to. I just crawled through under that fence because he told me to. I got up and got out of his chow hall because he told me to. I got up at 5:30 in the morning because he told me to. So it didn't matter what his personality, his education, his looks, whatever it was. His position was, he was my leader, and God told me to be submissive to him. That works at every place along the line with God. God says there's authority. I've been given all authority. Line up under my authority. Your boss is your authority. The law enforcement people out there are authorities. Everybody's going to be under somebody's authority. And so that's what men of God do. We place ourselves under the authority, under the direction, and we become the plan. So don't get distracted by the things of the world. Don't love the world or the things of the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not going to be in you. You're going to love the world. You're not going to care about lost people. You're not going to care about the gospel. So God has to break us from the world. He has to take those things away. God blessed you with a bankruptcy. God blessed you letting the business fail. God blessed you, because we don't usually look at those things as blessings. My daughter lives in a condo over here not far away, and the guy upstairs in the condo had a leak, and it came down into their condo, and it just wiped out all their sheetrock and their cabinets and the floor and all this stuff. So for months they've been going through the insurance deal and trying to get people. Got Mike's brother over there fixing them up and taking care of them, putting in new cabinets and floors and all the stuff they do. And they've been bemoaning this, and like you and I would do when your house is all torn up and things are just in disarray and you're having a hard time getting those guys out there to get it fixed and getting the insurance company to cut the check. And but in the end, they're getting a remodeled condo. See, at the end of this, after you've gone through the trial, after you've, you know, failed and complained and to everybody, including God, then you get a remodeled apartment. So that which looked bad and looked like bad news is now slowly becoming really good news. That's the way God works. Now, you're being reminded of this. You already know this. But what circumstance are you in right now that you need to praise God for that normally people wouldn't see that as a blessing? But because you're in this circumstance, because you're being persecuted, taken advantage, have been lied to and betrayed, have been put down and neglected, have been criticized and accused falsely, and your good evil spoken of. We could go on and on. But because you're in that situation, you have an opportunity for the gospel. If you're committed to the gospel. So this, I have a little fender bender one time. And I thought, getting out of the car. Now, how I respond to this person is going to maybe determine where this person ever goes to heaven or hell. So I need to respond in this situation. Forget about the car. Forget about God. It's a car. They get dented. They get fender benders. They get all kinds of stuff. But it's not about that. It's about how I respond to this person in this circumstance. Do I want to be forgiven? Absolutely. Am I willing to forgive? I better be able to say absolutely. For the gospel's sake, for Jesus' sake. So I want to encourage you this morning to be committed to the gospel. I don't know if you've thought about it lately. Most people haven't. Most Christians haven't. We go about our business doing our Christian thing and forget that the whole bottom line and the main thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The last thing he told us, go make disciples. That's what your purpose is. That's what the plan is. I want to use you to do that. Are you available? That's the question. And so we're going to fan each other's flame. We're walking this thing together. We'll go through this with Sam. You've been through it with me and Susan and with John and Jane. And we're going to go through it together with everybody that's going to have trials and tribulation. But the thing that's going to determine whether you're going to praise God and say, God, I'm going to praise you. I don't care what you do. You're a good God. You do all things well. You have a plan and a purpose in this. And you're God and I'm not. And you're my Lord and I'm your servant. Help yourself to my life. Here I am, arms wide open, giving myself to you in a fresh new way. Are you afraid to do that to him? Because I can tell you right now, you're either going to give your heart to Jesus Christ and his protection, his blessing, his love, his covering, his plan, or you're going to give yourself to the devil. You're going to believe the lies of the devil. And rather than being a blessing, you're going to be a clog, as Chambers would say. You're going to be a clog in the gospel story. You're going to be a bump in the road that's unnecessary. I don't think any of us want to say, that's my purpose. I want to be a bump in the road. I want to be a clog in this whole gospel thing. rather than just saying, God, I don't understand it. It doesn't feel good. I didn't want this. I wouldn't choose this, but I'm going to praise you because you're doing something. You work in ways we cannot see. God will work a way for me. He has a plan in this. Cooperate with his plan. Thank him for this pain. Thank him for that loss. Thank him. Find all the reasons that you have to be grateful. They can take my wife, they can take my life, but they can't take my salvation in Jesus Christ. And I still got that, and he's still here. She's there waiting on me and all the rest of us with our son Stephen. And I'm going to join him someday, but right now we got work to do. And the work is the work of praising God in our circumstances. That's the work. It's the gospel work. It's not just doing a bunch of stuff. It's doing it with the right spirit, heart, and attitude. It's doing it for the sake of Christ, and it's doing it for the gospel. So I want you to really pray about that. I want you to write a letter to God saying, Dear God, I'm trying to get this gospel thing down. And then let God write you a letter about your place in his gospel plan. God's got a plan for you. Your life matters. Your life counts in this whole effort. We're all in this effort together. Go and make disciples. Go and win the world to Jesus Christ. And some of us are going to lose our jobs in the process. Some of us are going to be persecuted. The environment has been totally set up right now in our country today. For if you believe the Bible, you're guilty of a hate crime. If you preach the Word of God, if you preach it as a real heaven, there's a real hell. If you preach that men are sinners and that the wages of sin is death, and there's a real hell out there, and there's a real heaven, and there's one of those two destinations, everyone's going to end up in heaven or hell. Some people don't even think hell is a real place. And I finish with this. William Booth, who was a founder of Salvation Army, was training troops that were going to be in the Salvation Army in India. And they had been through 2 years, and he was speaking at their commencement. And in speaking, the first thing he said is, you guys have taken 2 years for us to teach you doctrine and skills and to hone your gifts. But you would have probably been better off if you could have just spent 5 minutes in hell. Because you'd come back going, I don't want anybody to go there. And all these people that we see that are living these decadent lives, we're capable of the same thing. Let's quit judging them and criticizing them because they don't agree with us, because they're doing things to destroy America. God's not wondering and hoping, boy, I hope we don't lose America in the process here. He's not worried about that. He commissioned us not to save America, but to save souls. And when we save souls, that's the best chance America's got. Amen? Okay. Stand up. Lock arms with a brother. Because we're in this thing together. We're living in the light. Father, that's what we're doing. And you've commissioned us to go and look at the giftedness in this room. Look at the commitment of the men in this room. Look at the difference they're making in their homes, the marketplace, out in the culture. And so, Lord, just help us do that. I mean, if we're not committed to the gospel, what are we committed to? Something that's temporary, something that's passing away, something that leads to hurt and heartache and separation. But if we're committed to the gospel, Father, we can endure any pain, any suffering, any tribulation for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus Christ. May we do that, Lord. May we please you in the way that we do that. May there, because of these men in this place, and because of you encouraging us today, there's some people that's going to be in heaven, might not be there, if we weren't reminded of what the main thing is. May we be faithful to it for your sake and Jesus' sake. And it's his name we pray. And all God's men said,
amen.
Give them heaven, guys.